I enjoyed your hashtag thing on Twitter earlier today about Ultron.
Yeah, I was hoping that'd take off. I was writing other Disney lines that Ultron should say menacingly. Like, ooh, I want to be like you. I can show you the world. You know, something like that.
Let's get Spader on the phone. I think we could have some fun with this.
Right. Let it go. As he's like ripping Iron Man's arm off. That'd be funny.
Spoilers.
That's not spoilers. No one knows what's happening in the movie. I know you're just trying to do a joke there, but that was a bad one.
Spoiler.
Bad joke. As usual, I'm hilarious and you're dumb. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 23rd, 2014. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, AJ.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not bad. Yourself?
Oh, I'm fine. So, we got some news to talk about. Then we'll talk about what we've been playing, get to the releases. That'll be the show. Pretty standard stuff here this week. So let's get rolling.
Okay. Michael, I did not watch the Smash Brothers thing. Tell me all about it.
I watched it and wrote extensively about it. So, yeah, there's a Smash Brothers Direct literally about an hour ago from when we're recording this, kind of detailing everything that's different in the Wii U version of the game.
Okay.
Kind of one of the biggest things is that the game will actually support up to 8 players.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now it's anywhere from
locally
like 5
or to 8. Only online.
Locally. Only
you can have 8 controllers?
Yeah, actually I don't think you can online because of lags and stuff. But, so you can hook up 8 controllers somehow. You can play with 8 people. Only on certain stages. Like, there's extra big stages for this kind of thing. One of them is based on, like, the Kirby, the Great Cave Offensive from Kirby Superstar. There was, like, I think they had, like, this, like, a different version of Battlefield that's much bigger. So, stuff like that. So that's.
Does this support Final Death mode as well with 8 people?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Maybe it's just a much bigger Final Destination map. I can't remember if they said that or not. But okay. So that's kind of
crazy.
Yeah, it's not something I imagine going to do a lot, but that's, that's neat.
Well, even like, just to get 5 people in when you have 5 people over, like, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wonder if that means like, cause the GameCube adapter thing just runs through USB. I wonder if you just hook up 2 of those.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess.
That's so nuts.
Yeah. The other kind of, biggest thing is some of the modes that they talked about, like, that board game mode that was rumored is a thing where, It's like you go through a board as your Miis, and then you collect characters and items and stat boosts and like a kind of a board game. Then toward then at the end with like everything you accumulated, you fight one battle.
So it's kind of like the Smash Run.
Kind of. It's like the
in structure.
Like, yeah, it's like it's a little bit it's different, but it's like it kind of serves that purpose.
Yeah.
There's this mode where like you pick challenges from Master Hand and Crazy Hand, and you get trophies and items if you do them. It wasn't exactly clear. Like, it basically sounded like a challenge mode. But there's like another thing that was called Events Mode that seemed kind of similar again, where you just like played matches with like these specific challenges. I didn't quite understand how that works. The Masterpieces Mode is that thing that lets you play like a little bit of like all the old games that these characters are in. Then you can get the full version on the eShop from there. So it's basically like an in-store demo thing for a lot of old Nintendo games. Huh. It's kind of neat how it's like built into this. One thing that's neat is that you can use the gamepad for the stage creator mode now, which would,
That'd be helpful, yeah.
So that could be really nice. And it seems like you can like use themes from the games, whereas like in the Brawl version, you kind of used all these really generic things.
Yeah.
One of my complaints with the 3DS version was that there wasn't like, just for memories, there wasn't a whole ton of music in it, but this game's going to have a lot of music again and all the customization options and stuff that Brawl had.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Then a bunch of little things. The other big thing, this is kind of for both games, is that Mewtwo was announced as a DLC character. He'll come to both games in April, sometime in spring of 2015, and you get him if you own both versions of the game. That's also how you get the soundtrack, too. So that it's just cool that they've announced the DLC character, because it kind of opens the floodgates of possibilities.
Right. And it's did they say you can also buy him separately?
They
if
did
you don't
not.
Have both, or?
They did not. So I don't know how that works exactly. I'm sure at
some point
they will.
I was wondering if they revealed any pricing or anything.
Yeah, but so, you know, it's cool. I hope that, you know, they could, I hope they kind of support this game for a long time, and why not? Because, I mean, it's usually 7 or 8 years between these things, so that's, you
yeah,
know,
right.
Keep adding characters, why not? So, yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of stuff that differentiates this from the 3DS version. Obviously, they're going to be mechanically the same game. But,
yeah.
It sounds like the Wii U version is definitely going to be the definitive version.
No, sure.
Right. So, yeah, November 21st. I am stoked.
Very exciting.
All right. So, what do you want to talk about?
So, there was this thing that happened that was kind of silly where a developer for some small shop, this guy's name is Mike Malbec, and his company made a game called Paranautical Activity. It's like some kind of FPS roguelike, I guess.
Yeah.
So Valve, like, put it on the front page of Steam and, like, it was part of a promo, like, really great traffic for them, but they, like, inadvertently called it early access when it wasn't, and this guy just went off on Twitter. Like, lost his shit. And it all culminated with him saying, I'm going to kill Gabe Newell. He is going to die. Well, guess what? Valve pulled the game from Steam.
How does an adult think that's an okay thing to say?
Well, he literally...
He quit
the company in the hopes that the company could make amends with Valve, and that, you know, because this was all just him on his personal Twitter. And he said the only way he'd work in the game industry if he's on, like, some 1,000-person team, because he knows he cannot control his temper and he would get in trouble like this again in the future.
Well, it sounds like he needs a therapist or something. I don't know. Seriously, it's like, well, who thinks that's okay? Who thinks there aren't going to be repercussions? And now there's, like, some people like, well, I mean, come on. It wasn't really a serious story. I don't care. You don't say that.
Yeah, you know what? I think
just
think people still
safe.
Understand
well,
that
not.
There is a repercussion to something like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know. It's just mind-blowing how stupid that was.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being this guy's partner, how pissed you must be? Like, oh, thanks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, this game now is forever going to, you know, imagine they worked on that game forever, and now it's just always going to be the game with that crazy guy who threatened to kill Gabe Newell.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Oh, well. What else?
This came out of nowhere, but they're making a GTA San Andreas HD for Xbox 360.
Yeah, right? Weird. Like, how much better is that going to be?
I don't know. Well, it's going to be in 720p with an enhanced draw distance. It'll be $15.
But, I mean, those PS2 character models are really low detail. So it's like, even if you up-res everything, that game's not going to look, like, good. You know?
Well, here's the crazy thing. I didn't realize it. So it comes out October 26th. That is 10 years to the day that San Andreas came out.
Yeah, I guess sounds... Man. Yeah, I guess that's about right, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems weird to even... I don't know. It seems weird to me to release games on a... They freaking 360 anymore.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, it's a $15 downloadable. Why not?
I guess. I mean, a lot of people liked San Andreas most because it had a lot of, like, the most customization options for, like, the character. Like, you could be fat and stuff. That's basically all it comes down to me. It's like, I remember right. you could eat a lot of fast food and get fat and then work out and become really strong again. Right. What else?
I was going to talk a little about, you know, Uber Entertainment, the guys who made Planetary Annihilation after its very successful Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Well, they did another Kickstarter for this game called Human Resources that I thought looked really good, but they actually, like, it wasn't going to happen. They canceled the Kickstarter before it was even done because it just was not going to meet its funding goal. Which I wonder if that's a sign that people are just not into the whole Kickstarter thing anymore.
I think not. I mean, first off, the kind of initial excitement is gone. Second off, I mean, you know, a lot of people have been burned with these things. There's enough horror stories. And even, like, the success stories are, like, people are like, well, I mean, I guess I could have just bought this when it came out.
Yeah. Well, even, like, I can't think of very many Kickstarter game projects where they were delivered at the time initially promised. And I know, yeah, you'd rather the game be good than sooner, but they're always off on that.
Right. Yeah, it's a little
annoying. Often it's blamed on, well, we made more money than we thought, so we're making the game even bigger. Like, no, don't. Just make the game you said you're going to make.
Yeah.
Pocket the extra money. I don't care. Good on you. Like,
I was talking about before, Broken Age. I really liked Broken Age Part 1, but it's like, this stunted delivery of it. It's like this game can hold no special place in my heart, unless like the second part is amazing. But it's like, I don't know, there's something forgettable about the delivery service. And I don't know if that's, you know, a Kickstarter thing or what. It kind of was, because like, oh, well, we have to release this thing in two parts so that people get something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's all kind of weird. But I mean, and they're part of Kickstarter. It's like, oh, well, we need this now so that we can make the games we can't make. Well, I feel like now we kind of, it seems like there's a lot more leeway with that, right? Like, I know Tim Schafer's like, oh, well, no one would ever fund an adventure game now. But now you have, like, Sony helping them make, like, a Grim Fandango remake and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. All right, what else? Is that it, news-wise?
Yeah, pretty much. Not a lot going on.
All righty. What do you want to talk about? What are you playing? I got Fantasia. I reviewed Fantasia.
Yeah, what do you think?
The music's evolves. I was kind of down on this game at E3 just because it really didn't work. I don't even set the time, you know, I don't know, maybe E3 is not a great place to play this game. But now that I'm really got to play a lot and review, you know, I was surprised. It's super fun. It's cool because, you know, it's a game that's much more about music than like a game about performing music, which I feel like that was kind of the downfall with Rock Band for me. It was like it almost was too much into being a simulator, right? So, like, there'd be, like, songs in the song list where, like, the bass part just wasn't very much fun because, you know, it has a simple bass part or something. Like, you know, they added keyboard, and, like, the keyboard parts were either not in a lot of the songs or they were, and, again, they're simple or weird. So, you know, this is almost more like an Elite Beat Agents where it's more of a game in a lot of ways, you know, like that. And, again, it's one of the few Kinect games I play where things seem to work pretty much all the time. And it's smart because even if you miss a note here or there, the game isn't as score obsessed or like as streak obsessed as a Rock Band or Guitar Hero is. So it doesn't like infuriate you so much. It really is just kind of a game about having fun and playing with the music. Plus, like the creative stuff is cool, like the way you can remix the songs as you're playing and the way you can even add little beats to a song at certain points. But I really like it. The campaign mode is like a little annoying, just like the way it's slow.
From what I read in front of the demo kind of gives you, it's just like there's like a tutorial in the beginning, and then it like
becomes a
teaches
tutorial.
You everything in 5 minutes, and then reteaches you everything in like an hour.
Yeah,
and I hated that narrator. I did. Ugh.
Yeah,
I feel like I would just get the game, turn on party mode, and just play the songs.
Yeah,
I don't see a need to go through the campaign.
The campaigns, like the whole disembodied, fussy British guy is becoming a big cliche, right?
Well, saying that, like, he's like condescending throughout the whole thing.
Well,
like,
that's kind of part of it.
I don't think you'd be able to do this. Like, it's pretty hard.
I mean, it's basically Wheatley or that guy from Little Big Planet, right?
Yeah, but it's like that without the charm. It's just
I think the charm's
the fact
just gone.
That he's British.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even like, I was a little disappointed too. Like, I feel like it's not, the game isn't as Disney as I'd like it to be. Like, Sid's in there.
I guess I understand why they did that, and maybe it was smart, but it's weird because it's like a Disney game, but kind of not. Like, you have Disney in the title, but then there's other times like this, you know, they're like trying to distance themselves from it a bit. Like, there aren't any Disney songs in the playlist.
Well, there is the Demi Lovato version of Let It Go if you pre-ordered it.
Right, that's it. But, and there aren't like, even there's really only, there's a lot of classical songs in it, but only a couple of them are actually from either of the Fantasia films.
And it's so weird that the Sorcerer's Apprentice is not one of them.
Yeah, I don't get that.
That's real weird.
Right. But, I mean, you know, it is a good song.
But, yeah,
song
I mean,
list,
the core of it is super fun. Super fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it works really well, and it's fun. Let's see. I feel like you kind of had a bit of a breaking point yesterday or the other day with Destiny. We're up and down on Destiny, aren't we?
Yeah, I think I hit the wall. We got to the point in the game now where you want to do the weekly Nightfall Strike. The Nightfall Strike is a super hard version of a strike where if your party wipes, you just get booted back to orbit. But if you complete it, you get a 25%, I think it's 25% XP boost for the week, like the rest of the week, which means you want to do it as soon as you can, as soon as it goes live, so you get the most benefit from it. The first problem is it's the same strike that's also the weekly strike. And it's not like because you did the Nightfall, you retroactively get the weekly rewards too. So you have to do it twice already. Then, I mean, there's only 5 strikes in the game. I've played them all so many times.
Right.
And for whatever reason, like, I don't know, it's just because it just gives like the random modifiers to all these higher difficulty things. It's like the skulls in Halo. And for the one this week just meant all the bad guys were the highest level. They were all yellows, which means they're like, it's like fighting elites in WoW. They all had shields that were resistant to every element type we were hitting them with. And they would like, wow, in the time it would take you to reload a gun, their shields recharged. Like, it just literally was impossible. Yeah, well, and we
needed arc damage to deal, and we got a little further later. But, I don't know. It's just about the repeated content, right?
Yeah, because first we did the Nightfall, couldn't do it. Then you had a bounty. It was that same strike, but you had to do it level 26 and kill this certain guy. And that was also ridiculous. It's like, you know what? I've beaten this thing so many times. I don't need to beat it again. I just hit that point where I'm like, I'm sick of playing the same stuff over and over just to grind for gear that isn't going to get me anywhere.
Yeah, I guess, you know, WoW does a similar thing where you repeat a lot of dungeons and stuff, but there's so much more things you can do kind of between that. Whereas,
you can do daily quests that have a little more variety to them than just repeating story missions.
We're in a point in Destiny where there's really not much else to do except that or play Crucible.
Yeah, like I was playing it the other day. And I found this like little connecting area on old Russia that I'd never been in. And there's nothing there. There's a few level 20 monsters that do nothing and that's it. But it was so exciting to just find new territory I'd never been in before.
Yeah. I feel like the big test is going to be how much this December expansion adds. Cause if it's just like what, two new strikes, one expansion and a couple multiplayer maps. How much longer is that supposed to last us for? Another 4 months or whatever? It's weird. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know if it was just a bad day the other day, but I was just like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah, like I said, we were playing that and I was like, you know what? I don't want to play this anymore. I just don't. I'm not having fun. I'm not, like, why would I keep playing this if I'm not having fun anymore?
See, it's always funny because we have played a lot of Destiny, but you won it. I remember when that alpha came out, I was annoyed how, like, glowy you were about the game. You wanted to love Destiny so bad.
Like I said, I thought what we experienced in the alpha and beta, like up to level 8, like, was the base. And they were going to build all this crazy stuff off that. And that's what they did with the raid. But not the rest of the game. The rest of the game was just that for 50 more hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like once we beat that raid, it kind of feels, I don't know.
Like that it feels like I beat so the game good. And I don't need to keep playing it anymore.
Like what else do we need to do? Beat the raid on a harder difficulty? Oh, cool.
exactly. Even like progression kind of hit like, you know, you need Ascendant Shards to upgrade your armor. And upgrading your armor is upgrading your level. And then Ascendant Energy is what upgrades your guns, but that doesn't upgrade your level.
Right.
And the surefire way to get those is to do dailies, which if you do it on the max level, gives you two of one or the other. So on average, that means you'll get 6 to 8 shards a week. That's enough to do one tick of an upgrade on a non-exotic piece of armor. It would take you just a freaking month just to level up again. I'm like, I don't feel like doing it.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't. Yeah. I still enjoyed the game. I mean, I played a shit ton of it. That's not like I feel like I didn't get my money's worth. But, you know, they say like a lot of MMOs kind of live and die by their end game because that's what keeps you around. I don't see it yet.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Destiny is so weird. It's going to be really interesting to see what Destiny is like
a year from now.
Even a year from now. Like, what is it? Is it this thing that keeps getting supported? Is it a base? Is it going to be a thing where, like, oh, we need to make a Destiny 2 and we'll really get it right? Or is it a thing where it's like, well, that didn't work out, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be really weird to see kind of what comes of all this. Especially with the Master Chief Collection coming and if the multiplayer.
And the new Titanfall update that we need to talk about, it sounds super fun. A horde mode some turrets and stuff.
But it is just a horde mode. Let's not, like.
Yeah, but I feel like in the context of Titanfall, that could be pretty good.
Horde modes are always fun. Should maybe just be there in the first
place. Especially as a free update, sure. Yeah. I'll take it.
Well, I feel like part of that is because they have lost a lot of players. And I think it's good to have a mode that people can just play with, like, 4 friends. Because I have a feeling those lobbies are getting a little smallish. Got to get Call of Duty coming out. That might become a graveyard pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, there's that. There's my take on that. All right. You play anything else?
So, yeah, I got from Gamefly Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition.
Oh, yeah?
And I've never played this game before.
Yeah, me neither.
I was really enjoying it until it became an open world game.
Yeah, then did it just become Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? We just don't like Grand Theft Auto, man.
I think so, because, like, in the beginning of the game, like, there's, like, it has a lot of these chase sequences that honestly feel a lot like the chase sequence in Uncharted 3, if you remember that. Like, yeah. That's what they were, and it was super fun. But then, like, I'm in the open world, and I'm being chased by police, and, like, I'm in this, you know, just the town. There's not a lot of, it's not very dense. So, like, there wasn't, like, a lot of people for me to, like, run through, and then I steal a car, and the map felt small, and I just drove around in a circle till I got away, and I'm like, ugh, this just turned into Grand Theft Auto.
And nice Uncharted. I could use an Uncharted really bad right now.
Yeah, right.
I feel like every game that's come out lately has either been, like, some sort of shooter or open world game.
Yeah. I like open world. Like, I like Skyrim. I like Red Dead. I like Assassin's Creed. But I feel like – I think open world in the modern day just doesn't work for me because we games have yet to achieve the density and the ability to, like – if you, like, you know, in Skyrim, if I see a building, I can go inside it.
Yeah.
I can't do that in any modern day open world game. Yeah. It's just inexplicably unopenable doors.
I guess I agree. Like, I do like open world games that either have a really unique setting, kind of like a Red Dead Redemption or Skyrim, or that they're a lot more focused, like a Shadow of Mordor or a Gravity Rush.
Yeah.
So you get Shadow of Mordor. Have you played more of that?
Yeah. Still haven't beaten the first four Warlords.
Do that, man. Get to that next area. It's so cool.
I know. I just need to do it.
I don't know. I couldn't put that game down. Yeah. If you're done playing Destiny, just play Shadow of Mordor instead.
Yeah.
There was a game.
Well, tomorrow is Civilization Beyond Earth.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So I feel like I'm going to be losing a lot of hours to that.
Well, yeah, that's hovering around an 80-something on the Metacritic, although I feel pretty good. Basically, like, the one complaint about that scares me a little bit is that they say the production value maybe isn't as good as it should be. But then the other – a lot of people are kind of complaining that it's too much like Civ 5 and not enough like an Alpha Centauri. I never played Alpha Centauri, and I like Civ 5, so that's fine by me. I mean, I was kind of sold on just the concept of Civilization 5 in space. So
yeah, me too. So I'm very excited. I wonder if that unlocks at midnight. If it's worth staying up for.
Oh, they have – on the Steam page, there's like a link to say when it all unlocks. I can't stay up till midnight, but let's see. I know, right? I used to be the biggest freaking night owl in the world, and I had to get up at 8 from
that work. All changed.
Then the one day they're like, Mike, you should get up early and do one morning news story since you're on the East Coast. I'm like, okay. It's better, though. It's healthier living, I tell you.
Yeah.
Good old.
Get to see the sun.
Yeah, I guess. The sun's okay. Mm-hmm. I like it when the sun's been out for a while and it's warmed the earth more. What else?
So I also fired up Dragon Age 2, the PC version, which I never played before. I don't think I'll finish it before Inquisition comes out, but at least it's kind of getting me back into the headspace of that world. Like, you kind of forget about things like the Chantry and stuff like that.
I kind of forgot about the Chantry.
Exactly. So, but I didn't notice this or realize this, but, like, I knew it was the case with the original Dragon Age. That, like, it was a little more closer to Baldur's Gate, the way it played, like, with an overhead map and stuff like that. This one, I was kind of surprised. Like, I plugged in my controller, and there's just no controller support. It doesn't play exactly like the first one, because, like, you can go overhead with the camera, but you can't zoom out super far.
That game is so action-y.
Yeah, it's turn-based. Like, you pause with spacebar, you issue your commands. Like, the guys just auto-attack and do the combos, which I like a lot better. Because I'm not, like,
doesn't make any sense.
I'm not just mashing buttons.
Yeah, but that just doesn't make sense with, like, how that game worked on a console to me. Because it was a button masher.
It works pretty well, actually. It's just weird, though, because you can't freely move the camera. It's still tied to a character, which is kind of dumb.
Right.
So it makes, like, targeting some things really hard, but... Yeah, it's a game. I'm playing it.
Right. All right, what else?
Did I play anything else? I don't know. Did you?
I'm not really. I watched Mom play The Evil Within for a bit.
Have you even played it yourself?
No. It kind of looked fun-ish. I don't know. It's really gory. And, like, I almost get the appeal of being kind of, like, scared a little bit. But just, like, being surrounded by, like, gore and, like, blood and guts. Like, whatever.
That's why, like, a game like Alien Isolation is so much more interesting to me than something like Evil Within.
Yeah, right. And, like, even, like, when I was, like, playing Resident Evil 4, you know, it was kind of scary. But, like, that was, like, a good level of it for me. Then, like, 5 was, like, just not even scary anymore.
Yeah.
And 6 happened, I think, but... Someone played it. All right, then. You want to get to some releases?
Yeah, what's coming out?
Well, Fantasia Music Evolved came out for Xbox One and 360. This is fun. Remember Scapegoat 2? That was an indie game that our mom actually reviewed. The guy who made it actually emailed me because he wanted mom to review it. Well, that's on PlayStation 4 now.
Cool.
Samurai Warriors 4 for PlayStation 3, Vita, PlayStation 4. So, hey, if you liked Hyrule Warriors, you know.
You will not play this game. Chris already traded that in. I didn't even know he played it much.
He did not get into it, I don't think. Just Dance 2015. The Legend of Korra. Man, some people like were expecting something of this for some reason. I know people like this show, but I don't know why they thought the game would be
because Platinum Games worked on this.
Oh, well, I guess it's still awful.
Yeah.
They must, so, whoops. Whoops on that. I don't know if much was out for anything. I think, Bayonetta 2, I think, is like tomorrow or something.
I thought it was out already.
No, the reviews came out pretty early. Okay. That's why you think that.
Wow, that just feels like a while ago those reviews came out.
It's Saturday, I think. It's either tomorrow. It's soon.
Okay.
I think at least digitally that, just in general, that Fantasy Life game for 3DS, it's a level 5, like, kind of JRPG, open worldy thing that a lot of people were kind of into, but others like, eh.
Yeah, it's not a target.
Okay, alright, it's there. Alright then. Bayonetta 2 is like tempting-ish. I like.
There's Bayonetta a demo. I have it downloaded. I haven't played it yet.
All right. Thanks for listening to Explain Bro Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Be sure to go to iTunes Music Store, leave us a review. Go to the SquadronStream.com message board. You can talk about this episode or anything else, and we'll bring it up on the show. And that's it. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Bro Podcast.
Bye-bye.